Then the third one is don't get bogged down with unrealistic expectations. So this follows from letting go of focusing on the result, because lots of times, you know, when we do focus on the result, we have very unrealistic expectations. Okay? It's like, you know, you get married and you expect to have the perfect family. Well, who has the perfect family? What is the perfect family? I don't know. Or, you know, you expect when you get out of school that the world is going to realize how wonderful and intelligent you are and promote you year by year so that in 5 years you are at the top of the scale. A little bit unrealistic, isn't it? Okay. So lots of times our expectations in life are quite unrealistic, and we get bogged down by having those kind of expectations. Or even people who are doing social welfare work, you know, people who are dedicating their life to work for the welfare of society. Very often they have a really clear image of how they would like society to grow and change so that people live in a more productive and harmonious way. And they have that kind of image of the perfect world, you know, where there's no environmental pollution, there's no violence, there's you know, complete equality in terms of income for people, so there's no poverty anymore. Everybody has access to education, and so on and so forth. We have a lot of wonderful ideals, but when we expect our ideals to become reality quickly, then we are setting ourselves up for disappointment. So it's important not to have unrealistic expectations. You know, we might have an ideal, but let's not expect our ideal to happen right away. Now, in the Buddhist path, you know, we talk about our full ideal. You know, our ultimate goal is to become a fully enlightened Buddha. We say that we have the Buddha potential, the clear light nature of mind. You know, we have within us the potential to know everything that exists. We have within us the potential to have equal love and compassion for everyone. We have within us the potential to be extremely patient with others, no matter how they act towards us, and to be very forgiving towards them. So that's a very noble goal. It's a very noble result that we want to actualize. Yeah. So, you know, it's good to have that kind of aspiration. Now, if we expect to become a Buddha in the next 10 years, then we're going to have some difficulties, because that's a little bit unrealistic. And I say this because a lot of times, people who enter spiritual practice expect spiritual practice to be like modern life, where you just push a button, okay, or where you point and click, and it all comes to you. And spiritual practice isn't like that. Yeah, it's not like sitting there with your little mouse where the only exertion you have to do is to move your hand and move your finger where to click on something that you want to buy online. Okay, it's not like that. But spiritual practice really takes effort on our part, and it takes daily effort and continuous effort. And if we expect that we're going to become a Buddha overnight, then we're going to be very, very disappointed. But if we let go of that unrealistic expectation and instead, you know, have the long-term perspective, then as we, you know, go step by step, stage by stage, we'll feel a real sense of accomplishment and inner richness, and I think that's important. So if you find in your life that you're starting to get discouraged with something that you've embarked on, then ask yourself if your expectations have been unrealistic, or if they've been actually realistic. Like I said, so often we have unrealistic expectations. So for example, you know, people who are working to lessen the environmental destruction on an international level, let's say, or people who are working to stop the spread of nuclear weapons, or people who are working to aid organizations to bring medical care, you know, to all the people in the planet. It's wonderful goals, and we have to have a long-term mind that works towards those goals slowly and not have the unrealistic expectation that it's all going to come about quickly. Okay? So that ability to work long-term, slowly, is a very important thing for living with optimism and not getting bogged down with unrealistic expectations. So that actually leads to the next point, okay? That's the fourth point, okay? So that is to think long term. Yeah. And when we don't get bogged down with unrealistic expectations, then we can really think long term. And that enables us really to be content with where we're at and what we're doing. So if we look within, you know, Buddhist practice, like I was saying, we're aiming for full enlightenment. I mean, what an incredible goal of being a Buddha, where you can manifest an infinite number of bodies throughout the entire universe so that you can benefit each and every living being according to his or her own receptivity and disposition and interest. I mean, what an incredible thing to become, you know, a fully enlightened Buddha. And we have to have that long-term goal, but then go about it step by step. And so that's why in the Dharma, we have the whole description of all the paths, all the levels of the path. You know, we talk about the Bodhisattva path, and there's five paths, and there's 10 grounds or 10 levels within that. We talk about the various stages leading to arhatship. So we recognize that there's a path, there's a systematic step-by-step thing, you know, path to go along. And so that gives us that sense of a long-term vision. And I think when we can hold that long-term vision in mind, it really gives us a lot of courage to undergo difficulties. Okay? Because when you know that you're working for something that's very valuable, and valuable not only for yourself, but for all living beings, then you get a tremendous amount of resilience to be able to go through difficulties. Because you know that where you're going is something really worthwhile and something really valuable. Okay. So we have to have this big scope, yeah, a very big mind that's focused on the long-term goal. So you might say, well, you know, how does that relate to me? You know, I'm just living here and going to work every day and living my family. And, you know, what are you talking about becoming a Buddha and manifesting bodies throughout the universe to help sentient beings? You know, I'm just trying to get through my own life, okay? You know, well, these things are related, actually, because if we see that we have the potential to become a fully enlightened Buddha, you know, we have this incredible potential, you know, that the meaning of our life isn't just to go to work every day and bring a paycheck home at the end of the month. You know, that the goal of our life isn't, you know, simply to have children and grow them up and let them go. Okay? But we have, you know, those intermediate goals are very good and they're very meaningful, but we really have quite an incredible human potential that we need to tap into and we need to have faith in. And to then, as we live our life day by day, you know, having your children, growing your family, or for couples who choose not to have children, because lots of people don't want to have children. They figure, you know, the population on the planet is big enough. So, you know, there's diversity. People aren't going to have the same kind of choices in their life. But as you're going through your life, you know, day by day, or in your job, in your work, you know, think, okay, I'm trying to grow a kind heart each day. I'm trying to cultivate wisdom and compassion each day. I'm trying each day to live as an ethical human being and let go of any tendencies that I have to kill or to cheat other people or to lie about things. You know, I'm trying every day to, let's say, reform my speech and to make my speech kind and to learn how to talk at appropriate times in suitable ways. You know, I'm working on my speech so I don't gossip so much behind people's back or, you know, criticize them or blow up at them. You know, I'm really trying to work with my temper and pacify my mind so I don't get, I'm not so reactive when things happen that I don't like. Okay? So you see that what you're doing on a day-to-day basis is exactly what needs to be done to lead you to that full, that state of full enlightenment. Okay? Are you getting what I'm saying? That we're not going to go from enlightenment to enlightenment from today, you know, tomorrow, be a Buddha, okay? It's step by step, and so we have to start that on a day-to-day basis just by learning to be a good human being in this life, okay? So even if we just, let's say, work with our speech, and you want an incredible transformation that can be. Because think about what happens if we don't work on our speech. Yeah. If we don't, if we aren't careful with our speech, what do? We lie. What happens when we lie? Well, other people find out about it and then they don't trust us anymore. And this goes in personal relationships and it also goes in business. If you lie to your clients, if you lie to your customers, they're going to find out and they're going to drop the account. You know? It really pays to be honest and truthful with the people that you're dealing with in the business world. Okay? Because eventually it comes back on us. Okay? What else happens if we're not careful with our speech? Well, we create a lot of disharmony. We talk behind people's backs. We say all sorts of things. We play this person off against that person. We manipulate people. We create a lot of disharmony in our family, in our workplace, in our community. You know, just because of what we say. We say all sorts of critical things behind people's back, and then of course the people we criticize find out about it, and then they say nasty things about us because they're not happy because we said nasty things about them, and then it just, you know, perpetuates this cycle of discord. But if we see, well, okay, I want to become a Buddha, you never heard of a Buddha who talks nasty behind people's back. Okay, so I better start to clean up my speech right now, you know, and start training myself so that I can praise people. Yeah? And then we learn, we start practicing praising people, we start practicing giving people good feedback, we start practicing telling the truth, and then we watch how our relationships with other people transform. Because of course when we praise them and we point out what they've done well, they're going to like us, you know? We're going to create so much more harmony with the people that we interact with on a daily basis. What's another thing in terms of our speech? If we don't work on our speech, then we tend to say a lot of harsh words, don't we? We say all sorts of incredible, rude, cruel, horrible things, especially for the people we love the most, don't we? Think about it. Who do you say the meanest things to? Strangers or the people you love? Would you ever say to a stranger what you say to your husband or wife or parents or kids? We would never do that. Yeah. But sometimes we really treat the people we love very poorly. You know, we just take our harsh speech, we just dump it, spread it all over them without any consideration. And then we wonder why we have problems in our family. Okay. So, you know, if we think, well, I want to become a Buddha, you know, what do I have to do today to go in that direction? Well, one thing is I gotta clean up my speech and start speaking kinder. And instead of just always criticizing people and blowing up and venting my anger and temper on them, now I've gotta start speaking in a kind way and offering to do things for them and, you know, giving them good feedback and, you know, interacting with them. Look them in the eye and smile. So, no, the goal of enlightenment relates to our daily life, because to become a Buddha, we have to, you know, learn to speak kindly to the people that we interact with on a daily basis. And again, if we do, our relationships are going to improve very greatly. Another thing with speech is I will talk, you know, gossip, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So, you know, if you're in school, you gossip about this classmate, that classmate. If you, you know, at home, you gossip about that neighbor, and the neighbor above you, and the neighbor below you, and to your right and your left. And at work, you gossip about this colleague, and you gossip about that colleague. And we just gossip, blah, 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 blah. You know, and we have all sorts of meaningless talk, you know. You know, just think about how much time do you spend talking about food? Yeah, think about it. Take tag sometime. How much time do you spend talking about food? Oh, there's this very good restaurant over here. Oh, this hawker stall over here. This. You know, these noodles over here. Very good. Those noodles, not so good. You know, we spend a tremendous amount of time talking about food. Huh? When there's actually so many useful things we can talk about. Or we talk about TV programs. Yeah, you go into work the next day. Oh, did you see that TV program? This relationship and that relationship on the TV program. They're not even real people. And you're talking about their lives. Okay? So this is what happens when we're not very grounded, when we're not mindful. Yeah, we just waste a lot of time talking about things that aren't so important. But if we can, you know, really think about our speech, then we can use our speech in a very constructive way. You know? And the speech is very, very powerful. And if you make a strong determination to be aware of your speech, you know, and to tell the truth, and to use your speech to create harmony, to speak kindly, and to give people, you know, good feedback, and to speak at appropriate times about worthwhile topics. If you really pay attention to that, your relationships are going to be completely different with people. You're going to get along with people so much better. And this is actually steps to take on the path to enlightenment. Because a Buddha is somebody who has perfect speech. So we start creating perfect speech right now in our life with whoever is in front of our nose at that moment by how we speak to them. Okay? So that fourth point, keep the long-term motivation, okay, because you know you're going towards something really, really worthwhile, and then progress slowly, step by step by step. Okay? Then, the fifth point is what happens could be better than what you thought you wanted. Okay, let me explain that. So if you want to live optimistically, remember one of the previous points was don't get bogged down with unrealistic expectations? Well, following through on that is to realize that if we let go of our expectations and just enjoy our life moment by moment, what happens could be better than the fulfillment of our expectations. Because sometimes our goals are very, very limited. Sometimes what we expect or the result that we want is really not very well thought out. And if we relax and stop kind of trying to control everything in our life, then actually things could turn out much better than we would have thought that they had turned out. Okay. Let me give you a little example with this. Okay. So, I'm beginning a monastery in America. It's one of the first monasteries in the Tibetan tradition in the country. And we started looking for land a couple of years ago. We found one place, you know, beautiful piece of property, but it was a lot more money than we had, and we made an offer on it, but the owner wouldn't go down in price sufficiently. And then we also began to notice that there, you know, were some difficulties with certain governmental, you know, things and how they wanted us to use the land and stuff like that. But, we, you know, initially we made this offer to buy the property and they wouldn't come down in price enough. So we could have gotten very, very discouraged. But I just said, no, okay, it didn't work out. That's okay. You know. Then, so we kept looking for property. Then we found another piece that also was beautiful. You know, these incredible vast vistas into, you know, into the valley, into the mountains. Very, very beautiful land. And we made an offer on that piece also. And right at the time that we made an offer on it, somebody else came and offered more money. So we didn't get that piece of land either. So the people I'm working with, some of them are going, oh, we didn't get the first piece, we didn't get the second piece. You know, I said, look, just leave it. It's okay, you know, don't worry about it. Then we kept looking. Then we found another piece, okay? And we went up and looked at it. It cost more money than we had. And it would have been very difficult for us to get a bank loan. But we started to talk with the owner, and the owner offered to carry the mortgage. And so we, you know, we placed an offer, and he said he would carry the mortgage, and he accepted our offer, and this is the piece of property that we actually did purchase, where we, you know, where we're starting the monastery. And in looking back at it now, this last piece of the property that we have now, it's so much better than the first piece and the second piece. You know, it's much larger, much more property than the first piece and the second piece. The climate is much better. The county plows the snow all the way up to where the building is. In the first place and the second place, we would have had a very, very, very long driveway to plow the snow in. You know, plowing snow is pretty hard. You know, it has so many more qualities, many more trees, yeah, much many more wild animals and wildlife around. In so many ways, it's much better than the first two pieces. And so, I mean, just from my own experience, you know, learning that sometimes if you just hang in there and you just keep going, what you actually get could be much better than what you expected to get when you started out. Or even if you have some hindrances at the beginning, you know, like with the first two bits, the first two offers didn't go through, if you keep on persevering, in the end, what you get is much better than if you have gotten what you thought you wanted in the beginning. Okay? So I feel quite happy in this whole process, and it's interesting because in a way, I feel that the Dharma protectors were looking out for our welfare, and that's why the first two offers didn't get through. Because what was very interesting is when we finally found the place that we did buy, the owners there, they had been trying to sell it for a very long time, and they had been in escrow twice, and both times it hadn't gone through. So we had tried two times, they had tried to sell their place two times, and it was like when finally everything came together, we wound up with an arrangement in which we were very happy and they were very happy, and everybody got what they wanted. So it was really interesting. Hey, this very strong feeling that the Dharma protectors, you know, were really behind us in creating the monastery. So just an example from my own life about, you know, just keep going. And sometimes what you wind up with is much better than what you ever thought you could. And, you know, in so many ways, just personally speaking, I think when I look at my life right now, it's much better than I had ever dreamed that my life could be when I first started out. I mean, for example, when I first met the Dharma, when I first ordained, it never even occurred to me that I would have the honor and privilege of being able to address so many people, you know, with the Buddha looking over my shoulder. I hope I do a good job. You know, but I never would have even thought that I would have had this kind of privilege and good fortune to be able to be with you and to give a talk like this. You know, it never even entered my mind. And so that's what I mean. Sometimes if we relax in our life and if we stop trying to control everything, if we just let things kind of grow and go their way, our life can turn out so much better than we ever would have dreamt. Okay, so that's the fifth point. With, you know, what happens could be better than what you expected.